Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're taking a closer look at a really profound piece of ancient writing, the Book of Job, specifically chapter 37. Our goal here is to pull out some key insights about, well, divine power, about our own understanding, and importantly, how this ancient wisdom might actually apply to your life today. We'll explore how this deep dive could maybe encourage obedience and strengthen your faith.
Absolutely. And Job 37, it's quite something. It captures this powerful speech by Elihu. He's often seen as maybe the most insightful of Job's friends. And instead of just pointing fingers, he focuses on God's immense majesty, his mystery, mostly seen through nature's raw power. And these aren't just, you know, pretty descriptions. They're framed as revelations of God's actual voice, his command in the world.
Okay, right. Let's really get into that. The text paints these incredible pictures, almost cinematic, of God's control over nature. Elihu talks about God directing lightning, sending it under the whole heaven, unto the ends of the earth. It's quite vivid. And God thundering marvelously with his voice, commanding snow and rain, be thou on the earth.
Exactly. And what's fascinating, really fascinating, is how these things, thunder, lightning, snow, rain, they're not presented as just random weather events. No, they're direct expressions of God's command. The text is clear. Everything in creation is turned roundabout by his counsels, doing exactly what he commands them. And they serve specific purposes. Sometimes it's for correction, maybe for his land, or sometimes even for mercy.
For mercy. That's interesting. Even the storms.
Even the storms. Yeah. It suggests that even what looks like chaos to us might be part of a bigger divine plan.
Okay, so here's where it gets, well, really interesting and maybe a bit challenging for us. Elihu doesn't just stop at describing God's power. He uses it to challenge Job and, you know, by extension, us. He asks these really deep questions like, dost thou know when God disposed them and caused the light of his cloud to shine? Or that other one, dost thou know the balancings of the clouds, the wondrous works of him which is perfect in knowledge? It's almost like a mic drop moment.
Right. It really brings up this fundamental question. Can we actually grasp God's full reasoning? Can we truly understand it all? Elihu strongly emphasizes that God's works are, frankly, beyond our full comprehension. And the chapter wraps up by declaring God is excellent in power and in judgment and in plenty of justice. Yeah. And that people should fear him, meaning deep reverence, awe, not assume they can figure him out completely. It's a call to humility, really.
Humility. So connecting that ancient wisdom, what does Job 37 actually mean for us now, you know, living today with all our technology, weather forecasts?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think one key takeaway, connecting it to the bigger picture, is how creation itself should really pull us toward worship, not just, you know, control or analysis. In an age where we map every storm, predict everything, it's maybe easy to forget that the sheer majesty of nature points to something much bigger than our science. Job 37 invites us, maybe even challenges us, to let a thunderstorm or just a quiet snowfall or the stars at night, let them renew that sense of awe. And that awe, well, it deepens faith.
That makes sense. It's like reclaiming wonder. But, you know, going back to that line about God sending these things for correction or for his land or for mercy, like, that can be tough. When you're in the middle of a storm, literally or figuratively, it doesn't always feel like mercy. How do we actually lean into that?
That's such a crucial point. And that's where faith really meets the road, doesn't it? Job 37 sort of helps us accept that, look, we won't always understand everything. The suffering, the delays, the things that just don't make sense. Faith doesn't demand a full explanation laid out neatly. It requires trust. Trust in God's character, even when his methods seem, well, mysterious. And understanding that can foster patience, trust in his timing. It encourages obedience even when it's hard. You have to ask, what if this disruption, this thing I really wish would just go away, what if it's actually mercy in disguise or a needed course correction?
Wow, that's a really powerful way to reframe things, especially when we value knowing everything. Which brings me to that other verse, verse 24, where it says, God respecteth not any that are wise of heart. What's that about?
Yeah, that's a sharp caution, isn't it? Particularly for modern life. It suggests that being clever, having all the degrees, all the data, it doesn't replace humility. It doesn't replace reverence or that relationship of trust with God. True wisdom, at least according to Job 37, seems to come from recognizing God's incredible, often incomprehensible power and responding with awe. With humility, that kind of mindset strengthens faith because it's rooted in something bigger than just what we can figure out. And it encourages obedience because we trust his wisdom over our own, even when we can't see the full picture.
So this whole deep dive into Job 37, it really highlights that God's power is undeniable. We see it in nature, but his ways, often far beyond what we can completely grasp. But rather than making us fearful, maybe it should inspire reverence. deep trust, a real sense of awe that actually builds our faith.
Exactly. It shifts the focus from needing all the answers to trusting the one who holds them.
So, think about all this. Maybe a question for you listening. When was the last time you truly stood in awe of something you couldn't control, something that really reminded you, you know, you're not ultimately in charge, and maybe encouraged you to trust in God's perfect, even if sometimes mysterious, plan?